Welcome back to another Wanderment episode. This is Sarah and Tegan, and we are so glad to be here to talk to you about the unique and unexpected.
All right. So as we were thinking about what we could start off with this particular podcast, I have a passion for deep sea fishing. It's one of my favorite things. And so Tegan, being one of my best buds in the world, I invited her to go on a deep sea fishing excursion.
Oh, man.
And I have this sort of expectation of how the day is going to go. I want double digits of fish. I want to have perfectly smooth water. I want to have these sorts of things. Anyway, I've never yet been on a fishing excursion that went exactly as planned. And this is another classic case of welcome to the ocean, I guess, is what it was. So.
I mean, it was definitely a Sarah and Tegan adventure, that's for sure. Holy for sure. Cow. So we get on the boat and it's...
The boat was called the Tornado, by the way.
Yes.
That was the name of the boat.
Yeah, and we get on this boat and...
And we went out of Westport, Washington. So it's a little bit rough sea there sometime, but, you know, usually it's fairly calm water. But
yeah. And we get on and it's us two ladies.
Yes.
And all men.
Well, that's normal when it comes to deep sea fishing.
Yeah, true.
But I mean, there were, let's think, were there 11 fishermen?
Yeah, I think there was about, because there was two guides and four other guys and then Bill.
Remember Bill? Yeah, can't forget Bill.
Can't forget
anyway,
Bill.
Anyway, so there's this group of guys and there was us getting on the boat and it's early in the morning because, you know, it's a 12-hour fishing trip, that sort of thing. And we head out off the coast of Washington to go fishing. And We head out and Tegan was doing a power cleanse. And so she had a protein shake that morning that was about the color of Pepto-Bismol, like fluorescent pink.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Anyway, and I had not opted for the protein shake based on color and I'm not really into protein shakes. But anyway, so we're headed out to sea and Tegan kind of had the impression it was not going to go well with the protein shake, but nothing happened serious. Anyway, we're headed out. We went about 65 miles out into the ocean and we start fishing.
But before we started fishing, the waves were giant.
They started out smooth though, but then it got bigger.
They just kept getting bigger.
Yeah, they kept getting bigger. So it wasn't super choppy, but you probably had 3 or 4 foot swells to begin with. But
but then the guys pulled out that giant sub sandwich.
Yeah. So then this group of guys, they had this massive sandwich. Anyway, when we go fishing, I have like a certain protocol that I follow. I have, you know, things in cute little baggies and that kind of stuff. But I don't usually eat on the boat. Usually I'm fishing on the boat and I'm eating on the way to or from. So I have breakfast, get on the boat, fish all day, get off the boat, that sort of thing. But anyway, that's sort of my strategy. But there's this huge sandwich. Anyway.
Yeah, they pulled out a sandwich. I mean, seriously. I mean, I was already kind of like kind of ready to...
The boat was not holding still.
I was ready to, you know, get rid of this Pepto-Bismol looking breakfast. And I'm looking at these guys eating this giant sub sandwich. And I almost lost my cookies.
There you go. But I was fairly certain they were going to lose their cookies too. I just didn't know. A sandwich is probably not...
No.
With all the vinegar and all the veggies and all the processing. I mean, it was huge. It was a big old long thing. Anyway, so we get out to where we are and they drop anchor and immediately the waves start to get a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. Well, eventually they had to pull anchor because you couldn't be stuck in one spot with the waves. And we got in some pretty good swells. They were probably 9 or 10 feet. So they'd probably doubled, but we're fishing and the fish were on. We were having a good time. Tegan caught the first fish, which is important to note. We were fishing for cod and rockfish, so just bottom fishing. Anyway, but I caught the most fish of the day, but Tegan caught the first fish of the day, so we did well that way. But I had never up to this point been seasick. And I'd fished in Alaska, I'd fished all over. I mean, I'd been in some rough water before, like nothing. But this particular trip... I'm about 6 fish in and I'm starting to feel a little queasy because we are getting thrown all over the place on the boat at this point. It's rough water.
Yeah. And I'm obviously already have lost my cookies because Sarah didn't eat breakfast. So she's, you know, it was just water. But me, I'm the pink stuff was.
Yeah. So we chummed the water with some pink protein shake. And I hadn't had breakfast, so I wasn't actually throwing anything.
But we're fishing and
we're fishing and having a great time.
Yeah.
Well, then the sandwich boys. Whoosh. Let's just say they didn't have a good trip. Let's just...
No, I mean, one of the guys was completely down the whole time.
He was so sick. Oh, my
goodness.
And
the other guys were, like, looking at us women who were catching fish. And Bill. Bill, of course, was catching
fish. And
Bill,
yes.
And us three people were catching fish. And then they're like, how are they doing this? Because all of them were, like, super sick with their Subway sandwich.
Yes. super sick with their Subway sandwich. Say that fast.
I know. Super sick. Again, no, never mind.
Yeah. Anyway, it was like that. Anyway, so we're catching all these fish. And I puked 3 times that day. And Tegan, I don't know how many times you threw up, but I was so shocked by the whole experience because I had been fishing all over the place and had never even been queasy. So this was a brand new experience for me to be queasy on a boat. Anyway, and Tag was a little queasy on the boat, but we certainly were not the worst on the boat.
No.
And when all was said and done, I caught 19 rockfish and 5 cod. I don't know if you remember how many you caught, Tag.
I have no idea how many I caught, but I did catch the first one.
She did catch the first one. Anyway, so between the two of us, we outfished everyone else on the boat. I do remember that.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did have a lot of fun. Anyway, and by the time the day was over, we were in even 12 and 13 foot seas. So the seas kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, the waves. And the boat, it would go up a swell, and then it felt like the world would just drop out, and we'd just boom down into the next, like in the,
yeah,
in the hole of the wave. I don't even know what it's called. Anyway.
But I mean, we'd been on the boat for a long time.
And, yeah, we had been on
and after time. Those booms, sometimes you just need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. So Tegan's bladder woke up and said it needed some attention.
And I needed to go.
And you had to, like, basically you had to hang on to the side of the boat or walk sort of like, I'm not sure, sort of like you were carrying weights, you know, kind of hunched over and with your legs spread far apart to create some balance. Because, I mean, the boat was just going all crazy. So I followed Tegan to use the head in the boat.
Yeah.
Which is, because that's the toilet.
So I get in there. And I couldn't find the light.
So she's in the dark in a boat getting thrown all over the place.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out where the light is.
And then the door flew open. Remember? There was the door came flying open. So I'm trying to hold Tag's door closed. And the toilet paper roll.
Yeah, the toilet paper came rolling out.
So the toilet paper roll comes rolling out. So I'm sitting outside waiting for Tag. And all of a sudden the door flies open and the toilet paper roll comes out. So I'm handing the toilet paper back to her and holding the door. And I'm braced against the wall. So I have my back against the wall and my feet and my hands against the door. Because I couldn't stand in one space, but I was holding the door closed. Anyway, so Tegan's in there, the light's out. She now has the toilet paper, but she's trying to do her thing, and it's not going
well. No, it's not. Because as I'm like going to the bathroom, like as I'm trying to go, the water that was in there, like to
in the toilet.
In the toilet was coming up. Every time we'd hit a bump, it would jump up and hit me. And
she's getting washed on the backside.
So pretty much I was getting like a, you know, boudet in the bathroom. But I mean, really, it was disgusting. So then finally I get it. I do my thing.
Yeah.
I do my thing.
And she does her knock on the door and I'm trying to get out of the way without falling over. Keep in mind, I'm like, you know, braced against the door with my back and my feet and my hands are on the other wall trying to keep us there. Anyway, we finally get the whole bathroom experience worked out.
Yeah. Trying to pee in the dark in a moving boat with water splashing on you. Let me just tell you, it's a whole other experience.
Anyway, so what we're talking about this as being a unique and unexpected experience. And so we were thinking about what story we could tell. Definitely the bathroom experience on the tornado, 65 miles out in the Pacific Ocean in some pretty big swells. With a bunch of men.
Was very unique.
That was a unique and unexpected experience.
I mean, because we were expecting just to have a nice, joyful day out there.
Yeah, I was expecting 2 to 3 foot waves, maybe, you know, getting a little gentle rocking. But yeah, we were getting thrown all over the boat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and we had so much fun that, like, as soon as we got off the boat, I mean, because Sarah and I have no fun, no matter the crazy experience. But we got off the boat. We were at the grocery store.
Remember, yeah, so we stopped at the grocery store to get some baggies because the crew on the boat will fillet your fish. And we have big, like, bread bags sort of things full of fish fillets. Well, we had a lot of fish. And so in order to take care of your fish, you got to take it home, put it in freezer bags, put the fillets out flat, freeze them, you know, then get them ready to bring back to Wyoming. So that's the process. But I didn't have any bags. Because, you know, we were just going to pick them up at the grocery store on our way home. So keep in mind, we've been on a fishing boat in the ocean for 12 plus hours. We've had vomit, protein shake, bathroom...
Who knows what?
Juice. We'll just say juice on us. We smell like a combination of...
Sewage.
Yeah, it was not a pleasant experience for anyone around us. Of course, we couldn't smell each other.
No, we smell lovely.
We're fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're standing in the line at the grocery store, and Tegan's telling her husband on the phone about the day. She's talking about how, she's telling Eric how great the day was, da 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 da. And there's a woman in front of us in line. And I see her turn and look at us, and she just starts backing away. I mean, people who know me know I have crazy hair on a good day. 12 hours on the ocean. Yeah, let's not even talk about what was going on. Plus the smell, plus just the look of us. Anyways, she took one look, one whiff, one whatever, and starts backing away. Now, she also had a unique and unexpected experience based on our experience of the day. So there's two unique and unexpected experiences. I found the whole thing super hilarious. Tegan didn't even notice because she was telling her husband about the day. We get back in the car and I was laughing so hard about this poor woman who came to the grocery store and met the incredible...
Yeah. Our smell.
Our smell, for sure. Anyway, so then we get home, we bag the fish, it's all good. And I called my brother and was telling him about how the day went. And I was like, I had the best day of my whole life. I caught 19 rockfish and 5 cod and puked 3 times. And his response was, huh, there's not too many people on the planet that can say they puked 3 times on the best day of their life. Anyway, so that was our story about unique and unexpected. But we want to talk a little bit about, sometimes life can throw you a curveball, but you know, really, on the silver lining is there every time. So we want to talk about maybe how things can be unique and unexpected and kind of wonderful. So yes. There you go. There's our topic for the day.
So, Sarah, how do you keep things unique and unexpected in your life?
I like to think I'm good at that. Mostly it's because I seldom have a short-range plan. I have a long-range plan, but the details, I'm not really a detail-oriented person. So if I want to get to point A, then most people would have a line out about how they're going to do that. But I just sort of have a general idea of the direction I'm going to move and how it's going to go. So, plus, I think I have an ability to see things that are a little bit different, maybe than other people. So I don't know if it's a combination of what you look for or how you interpret things. But yeah, I would say that my life definitely is full of unique and unexpected things.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember I was working at a men's clothing store. I just did graduate high school. I was working in a men's clothing store and I was bored out of my mind. Like
it's a dangerous thing to be bored.
Yeah, I was so bored. I mean, yeah. So, and I was like, what would be fun? Like, what would I love to do? And so I was looking at some pictures of mine when I was younger and I saw this river guide and I thought, that's unique.
That would be fun. And unexpected.
I'm gonna be a river guide. And I remember I called several companies down in like Moab, Utah, and they're like, have you ever done this before? And I was like, no, I've never done this before. Well, why do you want to do this? You know? And so of course none of them hired me and they kind of just whatever. And then I finally called the company up in Jackson and they were like, yeah, we have like a guide school. You can try out for it. And I was like, all right, let's do it. But I mean, I had never been on the river. Other than when I went, when I was 16, you know, floating the river. But I mean, holy cow, talk about unique and unexpected. I mean, I so many people are like, what?
From men's clothing to river guide. There you
go. Yeah. And I, you know, I think that job in itself changed, you know, who I am. I mean, I always liked being outside and, you know, loved what I did, but like it taught me so much because I mean, I had to learn how to read the river. I had to, you know, because as a woman and a river guide, I mean, we don't have like the strength of a lot. You know, I can't get myself out of trouble with my muscles. I mean, I'm stronger than a lot of women are, but like I can't necessarily muscle my weight.
Yeah,
you
got to use your brain. Yeah,
and so, you know, I was taught by some awesome women. I found some amazing river guides that were women and they taught me, you know, how to get out of experience, you know, like how to get out of a predicament if you were like, you know, if it was kind of sketchy. So, you know, like I think some of those unique and unexpected experiences are kind of what, you know, help solidify like your true personality.
For sure. So when I think about things that are unique and unexpected, there's so many things that I think about easily. First things comes to mind, every single sunrise to me is unique. And even though it's expected, the colors or how it happens really to me is unique and unexpected. Like it just, there's no two sunrises that are the same. And I know that's my favorite time of day. So I conscientiously get out of bed and go to where I can watch the sunrise just because I love how the colors play across the sky and how unique and wonderful that is to experience. And so it kickstarts my day with this day of just, you know, but if I miss the sunrise, then I feel like I've missed something, missed an opportunity to maybe connect with myself or connect with nature, that sort of thing. So for me, it could be as simple as a sunrise. To me, that's unique and unexpected, even though it's sort of expected because the sun comes up every day, but it never comes up the same way twice. if that makes sense. Or unique and unexpected, everything from wildflowers to spices used that you cook with, you know, that sort of stuff. Unique and unexpected can happen. And I think it really sort of is what provides maybe excitement or maybe anticipation to your day. Everyday things that happen that are unique and unexpected.
Yeah, kind of like the Wyoming weather, you know?
Oh, geez. Yeah, let's get started with that one, shall we? How many times have we been out? Oh, my goodness. My sister and I, we hiked to Wagner Lake a couple of summers ago, and we got snowed on, sleeted on, rained on, sunburnt, and windburnt all in one hike.
How about like when we climbed the Grand Teton? I mean, that's completely unique and unexpected.
Yeah, that was definitely a unique and unexpected experience. We think about that when we're like, holy cow, glorious, but definitely different than what we thought it would be.
Yeah, I have to say one thing that kind of keeps me on my toes is my kids. I think kids are very unique and unexpected.
Your kids are very unique and very unexpected. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah, I mean, both of them are just, they have their own, like, I'm just like, okay, where did that come from, you know?
For sure.
I mean, Goldie is a crack up. I mean, that kid could make me laugh more than anyone I've ever met because she just says the funniest things. So
yeah, she does. She's a deep thinker and a fast mover. It's a deadly combination.
Kind of sounds like you.
There you go. Oh. Why, thank you, Tegan.
But yeah, I think kids kind of keep you on your toes, and they, you know, that's the great thing about them is they're just, you know, I think, you know, maybe that's why some people don't want them, but I love having them just because they, you know, my, you know, little Finley, she just is so like, she's just so funny. And she also is just unique in her own little way, you know?
For sure.
So, and just so creative, and it's just fun to see.
Well, and it's funny, like my case, she's grown up now, but when she was little, every little kid loves chapstick, especially little girls. And I have a dish on my sink that whatever's in my pocket when I come home, it just goes in that. And usually I always have chapstick in my pocket. So eventually there's this, you know, pile of chapstick in there. Anyway, one day she came over and she said, "Can I have one of your chapsticks?" And I was like, and she may have been four. And I said, "I don't really share chapstick. You know, I'm like, I share lots of things, but anyway." And she goes, "Well, you don't need all of it." And I was like, "Well, what if I do?" And she looked at me and said, "Well, you only got one set of lips." She's looking at this mound of chapstick. She's like, "You only got one set of lips." And that's become, you know, it was unique and unexpected to have that experience, but it has changed how I perceive what I have and don't have. That little comment, like in my head sometimes when I have more of something than I need, I'm like, "Well, you only got one set of lips," you know, whether it's, you know, whatever it is that I'm thinking, "Oh, I might want to get that or buy that or have that," or I always think, well, maybe not. So for me, it's become kind of a guiding principle of when too much is too much, and what you have, you when you can share, and when it's maybe not a good idea to share. So sometimes in my head, I'll be like, yeah, you only got one set of lips, unique and unexpected.
For sure.
Anyway, I think that might be our podcast for today. Unique and unexpected things. Kind of short, sweet, and to the point, but we hope you enjoyed it.
Have a nice day.